started. Okay, I'm done. Quarter done.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome. This is a committee of the whole meeting for the Glencoe Park District. I call the meeting of the committee of the whole to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7:02. Commissioner Boren is absent right now. She's arriving late. Member Brooks?
Yes.
Member Gaines?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Chair Underdunk?
Yes, here. Okay. Okay, the first matter on our agenda is matters from the public. Members of the audience can share their thoughts. It's a 3-minute time frame. We welcome your comments, both praise and where we can get better. And so, let's see, who would like to go first?
Sorry, I don't have a microphone, so
okay.
Speak up.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make some remarks about the policies.
Please speak up. It's kind of a funny room, and we don't have a microphone, so.
Okay, Cammie Reed.
Okay.
I went to school right here in this building.
Oh, wow.
Probably not many Glencoe residents who can say that. I'm a longtime Glencoe resident and a retired lawyer, and I happen to be on the board of the Friends of the Green Bay Trail. I'm very concerned about the proposed changes to the policy, because the changes would prohibit every park district board member from serving in a leadership or spokesperson role in an outside organization that has dealings with the park district, and it would also prohibit someone who has a leadership or spokesperson role in such an outside organization from serving on the board of the park district. Experienced and committed civic-minded citizens, as you know, are not a dime a dozen, and when we have one, we should maximize and not restrict the opportunity for that person to serve the community in multiple ways. It's very appropriate for the board to be concerned about conflicts of interest, but the park district would be the loser if it adopts the proposed changes to the policy manual, which have nothing to do with conflicts of interest. Under the laws of conflicts of interest are not illegal. The law requires that a person who has a conflict disclose a conflict and not vote on the conflict if he has an interest in it. I don't have any problem with the conflict of interest provisions of the policy manual. What I'm concerned about is that the proposed policy prohibits what I would call a commonality of interest. A commonality of interest, in my mind, is where the park district and another organization wish to pursue a project or transaction that is in the best interest of both of them. This proposed policy would severely curtail transactions where a park district commissioner is also a board member or officer of the other party to the transaction, regardless of how beneficial the transaction may be to the park district, and even if the commissioner has no financial interest in the transaction. A great example of a commonality of interest is what we're doing in the area we call SOSA, south of South Avenue, as you know, near Shelton Park, where the Friends have committed over $100,000 that we have in the bank to restore that area. We're getting great help from Lisa and Chris and the park district and the village to cut down stuff, to grind up stumps, and so on. We've also invested more than $100,000 in the area south of Harvard. We're doing this because we believe in what we can do as an organization. We're a totally volunteer organization. We have no staff. We are very lean. Josh, who was one of the original trustees of the Friends, has been a prime mover in getting the Friends to take on the SOSA project and to build neighborhood support for that project. I venture to say I don't think we would have accomplished, probably wouldn't have been able to get this far, may never be able to do it if we hadn't had Josh and his enthusiasm, his effort and support in pursuing that. Josh has no financial interest in anything that the Friends do other than that he's a generous contributor. Therefore, he has no conflict of interest in the legal sense in anything that the Friends or the Park District is doing. Josh was nominated and elected to the board of the Park District with full knowledge that he was a trustee and leader of the Friends of the Green Bay Trail. We will be disenfranchising Glencoe voters if you not prevent him from acting in that role with the Friends. Finally, there is no law that would require or support the proposed changes to the Park District manual. In fact, the Illinois Public Officers Prohibited Activities Act provides that a municipal or county officer, such as a park district commissioner, may hold a position on a nonprofit board that has an interest in a contract with the municipal body, but the commissioner must abstain from voting on any proposition before the municipal body directly involving the nonprofit and cannot be counted for quorum purposes unless the commissioner is serving on the nonprofit board as a representative of the municipal body. The Illinois Association of Park Districts has reaffirmed that a public official is not prohibited from serving on a nonprofit board that has contracts with the municipal body, but the official must abstain from voting on the matter and cannot be counted for a quorum unless he or she is serving as a representative of that municipal body. That is the Illinois law, and I cannot see why you would try to impose onerous restrictions not called for by law. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, is there someone else that would like to speak?
Sure. Hi, I'm Eric Anderson. I've lived here for years, and here with Michael Johnson, another longtime resident. We both were in the softball league for 20 years. I played with all three of my boys who played on the same teams. And then this year, suddenly in the March, we got a notice that the league was disbanded. So why did this happen? Or whatever, it's not going to happen. So we came back here and we saw, we built the Maginot Line back here. And we're kind of perplexed why this occurred. Is there a chance that the softball league will be restarted and placed in another field? This is the only field that has lights. I looked through the excellent minutes, Lisa, thank you, online, because I've never done anything with the Park District. I've never come in here and studied, and I appreciate everything that the Park District does. But this one just had me perplexed, and as well as the entire league. Nobody ever contacted us. I saw that on June 20th meeting, it was voted on to create the bioswales, I guess they're called, which I don't know why. I know I'm not here to ask questions, but I'm kind of wondering why did this happen and why were they made, and why is there a trail there when the Green Bay Trail is 20 feet away, and why weren't we contacted like in June when they realized that when we were still playing softball last year, why weren't we contacted to find out? So we can make arrangements to go to another league in another town. We're just kind of dumbfounded. I know you're not here to answer questions, but I would love to have some kind of a email or something from the Park District of what the heck happened and why nobody told us anything about any of this. So I was trying to actually, in reading it all through all the rest, I think, oh, maybe it's because of the tanks that were found, and they have to dig about, so they needed to have a bio system that would make the rainwater go away or something. But no, that happened 6 months after that plan occurred. So that couldn't have been it. And from playing on every field in this town, this was always the best grass field of anyone in town for football, for soccer, for softball, for baseball. And so I'm quite perplexed by that. I would love to find out why this happened.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. I think this is something staff will.
I will definitely give you a call. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, next. Who would like to go next? Yes. Yes, please.
So, referring back to the rule change issue here. I'm Kevin Harvey. I served under the Bronco Village Caucus for two sessions, and the last session I served on as co-chair of the caucus, and we are the caucus group that slated Josh and Steve and Dudley.
Take a minute.
So I don't know how many people are familiar with the caucus process in Bronco, but if you are, then you know that it's a challenge to get a lot of people to volunteer for caucus. If you saw the ballot this year, there were a lot of empty places on there. So I think our group did a slightly better job, but it's a churning, very difficult process to get people in Glencoe to volunteer. And I surmise it's because people in Glencoe are generally very happy with the way the village is run, and they are very busy people, and they think, well, let someone else do it. So it's really hard to get people to volunteer in Glencoe, and it's really hard to get a nice slate of candidates for the trustees, so that there's some competition there. Sometimes we're voting on, you know, just one person, and that's it. So it's really nice when we get a few more that are positions open. Most of the people, or many of the people, that run for board positions volunteer in more than one capacity because it's just their nature. They're often also in groups that have special interests, whether it's Friends of the Green Bay Trail or Little League or churches or whatever it may be. There's lots of special interests here. You wouldn't be part of a group if it wasn't a special interest. But it's exactly that sense of commitment and social conscience that we on the caucus saw as a huge positive in our deliberations. I would not want anything to limit the quality of the candidates that the caucus gets, or to reduce the pool of possible candidates. It seems misguided to disqualify people who want to serve the public more than one way in taking their already considerable skills and applying them to our local government. I would also be disappointed if our hard work, which we undertook, would be undermined by a decision made after the fact. We knew that Josh was on the board of the Friends of the Green Bay. How much that he was on. No one hid this fact from anybody. I went back and looked at the Flamco News, it says right there. The public knew it, and they voted him into the position known as. And we saw that, as I said, as an asset, not a liability. Lastly, if the board should decide to change the rules, it seems particularly unfair to do so in midstream, after the caucus made careful deliberations, and after the public made their informed choice. We have prohibited this from happening on the caucus itself by only allowing any amendments or changes to the caucus plan to take effect on the next cycle after the town hall meeting. It does never take effect during a caucus cycle. Changing the rules of the game at this point just seems wrong. Those are my statements. I have two other caucus members that couldn't be here today. Actually, one of them wants to speak just as a citizen and not a caucus member. So first of all, Eileen Serkin. I hope that I'm not going over it. I hope these will count as separate statements. So Eileen said, I'm just going to read it. To the Park District Commissioners and the public, I recently learned that the Park District trustees plan to prevent elected members who serve on not-for-profit boards from participating on the Park District Board. I recently served through two sessions of the Village Caucus Nominating Committee, and I think this demonstrates a fundamental misunderstanding of the caucus process. When I recently served on the caucus, we looked very favorably on candidates who had demonstrated interest in Glencoe and an enthusiasm for service to our community. In fact, this was exactly what we were looking for. This interest and service is frequently demonstrated by service and leadership at 501c3 nonprofit organizations, especially those that serve our community. By forbidding those with these experiences and skills to serve, you would basically be taking the pool of potential qualified candidates down to zero. I cannot imagine that this is the intention of the Glencoe Park District Board. Please reconsider your position and look as favorably as the caucus did and does on those from our community who have demonstrated a willingness and ability to serve our community. Sincerely, Eileen Serkin, Village Nominating Committee member and 30-year Glencoe resident. P.S. My husband, Hal Serkin, concurs with this message.
Thank you.
Michael LaCourte was on the caucus when I was co-chair. He is now the new co-chair, but he wants me to make sure you know that his comments are conveyed as a citizen who happens to be on the VNC. I don't dismiss conflicts of interest or the need to protect against real or perceived conflicts, but it seems that the scope of the action is out of proportion to the conflict. It seems Josh has taken the sensible approach of not participating in decisions that the Park Board makes with respect to Friends of the Green Bay Trail. Disqualifying him from service more broadly than this seems excessive. He definitely comes back with his name today.
So, mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, Andre?
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the board. It's been a year since I stepped off the board, and my name is Andre Lerman, 244 Hazel Glencoe, and I want to just say thank you for your participation, your involvement, volunteering your time. I think you've done a great job this year. Dudley has done a wonderful job as president, and I think this board is an all-star team. I really do. Everybody on this board, every single person on this board brings a unique perspective and a unique add to the board. So thank you very much for your support, and I'm, as a citizen, I'm proud to know that you, all five of you are serving. I'm also happen to be just recently got notified by the Village Nominating Committee that I now am a caucus member myself. Glencoe Precinct 1, so the people have spoken, right? But I'm not here, but, you know, I have no idea about, you know, that. I'm not here for that. I'm here to speak from my own personal experience. And I'm here because there's a lot of noise about this proposed policy that you guys are going to be talking about tonight. And what I wanted to do is share my perspective and a little bit of common sense, so you can kind of see somebody else who's been through this. And, you know, I've been on every side of every issue. I've had situations where every single person I've served with in my entire 6 years, I voted for and against. So I'm always the one stirring up things. I'm very comfortable with that.
We know.
And that's okay. But I want to share it from my perspective, and you take it to what you think. So in 2011, before I stepped on, was nominated by the caucus and was elected as a commissioner, I was a officer of the Glencoe Boat Club. The Glencoe Boat Club is one of a number of affiliate organizations that deal with the Park District. They ask the Park District for resources, for support, for staff. There's a lot of other support. GJK is one, Glencoe Junior High is one, Glencoe Youth Services is one, the Historical Preservation Society, Pride Dojo is one. There's all kinds of organizations that, you know, rely on Park District staff and help and policies to support their activities, and the Glencoe Boat Club is one. And when I disclosed I was a member of the Glencoe Boat Club and I was an officer, people said, that's great, you had a voter on the boat. But what I did learn was that, you know, being a commissioner on a public body is subject to laws in the state of Illinois, that's and representing all the people of the district of Texas, that's very different from being a volunteer or a member, an officer of a not-for-profit. And so, you know, you're held to a little bit of a higher standard in terms of representing all of the community. And so, knowing that the boat club was an affiliate member, I resigned as an officer of the boat club, and I mentioned and I told that to the park staff and the commissioners. It didn't mean I dropped off as a member. I was still a member. I still went to the boat club parties. I still participated and gave money and maybe raised money. And I socialized with people. These people are my friends. And I didn't stop doing that. I still was an active member. But what I wasn't was I was not an officer. I was a communications officer. And I said, I'm no longer a communications officer. And that meant a couple of things. First of all, what that meant was when the members of the boat club elected officers, I would specifically say, I'm not a part of this. I'm stepping up. I'm not a part of that deliberation. I'm not going to elect your officers. And I would not come to officers' discussions when they're setting policy about what they want to do and what they want to ask the park district. Further, the one thing I tried very hard to do, and I hope I did a good job, is I made sure I was not carrying water for the boat club, which means if the boat club had an issue, the boat club identified its own representative to deal with the beach staff and other staff about what they were going to do. I wasn't that person. And in board meetings, I and with staff and with other commissioners, I went out of my way to be silent on any requests that the boat club made. And the boat club would request some things, and sometimes the park district would say yes, and sometimes the park district would say no. I never got involved and said, oh, hey, why didn't you say no? And I never, ever did that. I went out, and the reason why I did that was I didn't want to jeopardize my credibility with my fellow commissioners to be somebody that was looking out for the best interest of me. I didn't want to be the boat guy. And when I first joined the board, and some of you guys remember back in 2001, there was a lot of other controversy. And so the last thing I wanted to be was marginalized as the boat guy, special interest guy. So I went out of my way to try to preserve my credibility. And I also think that's important because, you know, as citizens, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, the people that are sitting on the board are looking out for the best, the broader interest of the Park District and the residents of the Park District, and not having other positions that would be in, put them in conflict with interest. And that's true in the boat club, and that's true for, you know, all these other organizations. It's not just, or the baseball association. There's a lot of, it puts staff and the commissioners in a very awkward position. If you, as another commissioner, find people who are articulating on behalf of entities who are getting something, you know, from the Park District. So I went out of my way to try to you know, to not do that. I don't know the particulars in this thing. I think...
Andre, thank you.
I love the Friends
thank
of the Bay Trail. I contributed money.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
Here's the thing.
We get it. Thank you very much.
I'm over my three limit. So anyway, thank you very much. I'll try to stay out of your camera. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Okay.
Anybody else?
Any other person wants to talk? Okay, then the matters from the public is closed for the time being. Will be another opportunity at the very end of the agenda. We do have a consultant in from out of town, and we need to move on to move
yes.
with that. Oh, let's see. This concerns our discussion on our strategic plan. Lisa will introduce Barbara Heller, who will lead a discussion.
Barbara, as everybody's very familiar, but in the audience, Barbara Heller's here, and we've been undertaking our strategic plan for almost a year. So we're wrapping up, and so throw it over to you.
And I'll adhere to 3 minute limit.
I hope not. We paid you a lot of money to be here. I want to make it worth our while.
There's no time to waste here. Just as a quick, what I intended to do, a couple things. Number one, it's a draft report, and what I like to do is do it in Word, so this doesn't look anything like the final report will look. It'll be a lot more visually appealing. And then secondly, if you have mirror edits, we can do those offline. You don't need to do a big wordsmithing exercise tonight. So if you have some edits, you can send those to Lisa, and we'll incorporate edits. If you have content questions, we'll go over that tonight. But as a quick overview of the process, so we did focus groups with the board, with staff, and then a lot of the comprehensive master plan information was included in our thinking as far as developing strategic recommendations. So there's some reference to some of the survey results from that, some demographic information as well. And then just an overall organizational review. What are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats? And then we also then took a look at mission, vision, values and tweaked those. Some made them more meaningful and impactful statements, and then values changed those up a little bit so that there was consistency in the way they were worded. And then from there, the development of strategic themes, which the board set the tone for that. And then from there, we looked at strategic objectives, the board reviewed those, and then at the last time I came, I guess that was last month, took a look at the initiatives, and you guys had some really good comments, and we incorporated those comments verbatim because so many nuggets of wisdom from the board. So you'll see your comments have reflected in the initiative. And then the last piece that you've not seen are key performance indicators, and I do want to spend a little time talking about those tonight. It's been interesting in that a couple of recent strategic planning efforts that I've done, there's been a lot of hiccups associated with the key performance indicators. So now whenever I say KPI or key performance indicators, I've developed many nervous tics. So, So just an overview, but included a demographic section and some survey information, and then some highlights of the focus groups, those things that kind of bubbled up to the top from staff as well as the board. And what I'd like to do is to turn to the strategic initiatives, and that's on page 18. So there are 34 strategic initiatives, which are a lot, not too many, but it's ambitious enough for a five-year time period. And they're categorized according to the time frame by which they'll be worked on. So for something that is short-term, such as evaluate a more efficient and responsive registration process, which is the very first initiative under reduced barriers. So a team of employees would be involved in that, and the goal would be that it would start sometime during 2018 and be completed by February 2020. And it would be up to the team, so if you were in charge of doing these initiatives, how would you go about doing it? And that's the piece that's not included in the plan of the tactical efforts that would go into, developing a more efficient and responsive registration process, which is really a great initiative because the registration of programs is one of the most core key requirements of customers to have a nice streamlined process. So a team of employees would be involved in this, and they would decide how they're going to approach that. And that might be something that Lisa and the leadership team would take a look at, just making sure that the team is on the right path. And
would you call that who does what by when?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, as well as here are the 7, 8, 9
the what?
Steps,
yeah.
Tactics that are needed. And okay. That should all be documented. And the team works on those, and then, yeah, there's checkpoints along the way of when things are being accomplished. And then some agencies will use different scorecards. There's software programs that will help track it. One thing that I like to do is to have a designation of red, green, or yellow. Red, we're behind in this one. It's a nice dashboard to show that, and you can see the progress of something that's red, we're behind. Yellow, we're doing somewhat okay, but there might be some trouble getting it done. And then green, we're right on target, we're moving really well. So, and then ultimately, there needs to be somebody designated from staff, whether it's Lisa or one of her direct reports, of being in charge of the entire strategic plan to make sure that accountability is exerted. That's why I think so many plans end up not doing well, is that no one's ultimately responsible. And when responsibility is dispersed in 1,000 different directions, there's nobody really looking over the whole process. And I always like to think of that as being a champion of the strategic plan, somebody who's credible, somebody who has a responsible position. And if you want to chime in any time, feel free. You'd probably be better off not hearing anything I said. So let's take a look at the initiatives. Were there any other final comments? As I said, you guys took a look at the initiatives, and they're on page 18, 19, and 20. On the customer connection, any questions, comments on those? And you have four different objectives there: reducing barriers, developing customer feedback systems, seek partnership opportunities, and analyze and adapt to community needs. Any comments or questions or thoughts in that area?